is, it's on the website, or we can tell you. But we have several groups. Monday is French, Tuesday is Spanish, Wednesday is English, Thursday is ladies. Oh, and there's a man too on Tuesday, but it's not in Spanish. I don't know which language they use, actually. Do they do English or French? Okay, I think they do a little bit of both. Si vous préférez écouter le sermon et tout ça en français, c'est possible aussi, parce qu'il y a des casques là-bas avec des écouteurs. Non? Si? Et voilà, Christophe est très gentil, il va vous donner des écouteurs. Et Peter aussi, il est gentil aussi, oui. We also have a team whose job is to gather every information and then to redistribute where it's necessary. And so if you want to tell them anything, we have something, but it's info@trinityparis.com. That's very easy. And they're over here, and they wait for you to tell them what's going on so they can tell us, and then we tell you, and everyone knows. So that's good for announcement for now. There will be more after the service, but if you guys want to come, we start our Advent time a little bit early, because we want to end on the day we celebrate Christmas, actually, at the church. And then that too, I will do right after. And so we have those candles and some Bible readings and prayer to lead us into 4 weeks before we celebrate Christmas, and so we can actually prepare ourselves to celebrate that. So I'll let you guys do.
Hope. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Hope looks to God and waits on Him with a firm expectation that He will fulfill His promises. The hope was fulfilled on the first Christmas day, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God's Savior came down to earth to save us from our sins and lead us back to God by His grace. The people who dwell in darkness have seen a great light, said in Isaiah chapter 9. Our prayer is, Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Jesus Christ into our world, our hope of glory, our blessed Redeemer, the One bringing us resurrection and eternal life. In His name we pray. Amen.
So just before we move on, where's Christine? Okay. Christine has something to tell you. Okay, then it's very important.
Thank you for your prayer. Bonjour à tous.
Hello everyone.
Nous allons le 12 décembre avoir une maraude de Noël.
Okay, so there will be a maraude on the 12th December for Christmas.
Je vais envoyer un mail au groupe des maraudes, mais vous êtes tous invités à venir nous rejoindre, moi et Teddy.
An email will be sent to the group where we usually do the maraude, but everyone is welcome.
Donc je rappelle que les maraudes, c'est d'aller voir les personnes SDF dans la rue le dimanche matin.
So the idea of maraude is to go meet homeless people in the street on Sunday morning.
Apporter le café, la parole, un sourire, un croissant.
To bring them some coffee, God's word, a smile and a croissant.
Donc vous êtes tous les bienvenus le 12 décembre à 10h à Genesis.
So everyone's welcome on December 12th at 10 at Genesis.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you. Pablito. Okay, let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank You for today. We thank You that we can gather in Your name, that we are Your children, that You chose to save us and forgive us. And now we want to listen to Your word and we want it to be active in us. And so we pray that You use Pablo here to proclaim what You have to say in Your scripture. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right. Oh, that's a bit loud. Okay. Well, thank you, Paco, for this prayer. And also thank you, Christine, for this ministry that's been going on for multiple years. So we gladly welcome you to join.
and share a bit of the word to the people in need. So today we will continue our series on the book of Matthew. Today we will be analyzing the verse 17 to 20. Just continuing right after the Sermon on the Mountain, we saw the Beatitudes and also how we're called to be the salt in the world. In this passage, it can be titled in your Bible as Jesus Fulfills the Law. We'll be analyzing to understand what Jesus refers in these four verses. It's very limited passage, but it's very rich. And we will see how this connects to the Old Testament. Why this passage is specifically right at this moment in the letter of Matthew. This will help us understand what's coming on after. We will see that later on, Jesus will be teaching multiple things past verse 21. They cause dilemmas in the Jewish community, for the understanding of the teachings is enriched. And there was a reason for these teachings. So we will see how what Jesus is bringing up here is not only teachings, but it's also something that he's proclaiming. He's proclaiming something that will change the relationship with God the Father. My hope for you today is to understand the work of God here, to be reassured that these doings are not coming from nothing. It's not something like a magician trick. Voila, here is something new, right? To show us that he's trustworthy, to trust that he's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's the one who brought us a new covenant. So to give you a bit of a background of what was happening while this was said, is that Jesus was among us. The Jewish beliefs were not united. People in the Jewish community had multiple interpretations of the law, making the Pharisees come in and dictate what it was good teaching and false teaching in their own regard. Having followed multiple academic studies, people thought of them as the ultimate authority of a godly life. They were the reference for many people. And we see also at the same time that Jesus was teaching in the synagogues with his disciples. He was performing miracles in Galilee, and multiple crowds were following him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, and also people surrounding the Jordan River. People began following him, for his teachings were very profound. It was sound teaching. And more than that, it was an authority they didn't see before. So let's start reading our verses. From verse 17 to 20, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes on one of these, of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." All right, let's start with it, and let's go little by little. There's a lot brought us to die here. So let's start on verse 17, where we see that Jesus is reassuring us that he's not here to abolish the law. Right? He's here to fulfill it. But it's a bit confusing, right? So when we look at the word abolish, it comes from the Greek as luo, which it is understood as something that is loose, untie, and unlike when it says that it is break or destroy. He's not here to destroy the idea of what was the law. He's not going to step on it and say, forget about it, and we're going to start over. His teachings are not against it. His teachings are not coming from nothing. Actually, he's basing and he's building off the Old Testament. He's building off from the law. And he will fulfill what was put into place. But how will he do that, right? And he says it at the end of the verse. He says that he's here to fulfill it. If I can try to explain to you what the word fulfill can be seen is as sharing with you a very nice example that my father-in-law gave to me. He gave me an idea of where if you have a vase and you fill it with rocks, that vase will be full with rocks, right? But that doesn't mean it is completely filled. You can add to it salt, you can add sand to it, and it'll start to fill up more and more. So that ultimately, water is the last resource that is going to make this vase complete and full. This, as the word in Greek, as we just see here above, it is defined as to fill the individual capacity of something. So these, brothers and sisters, means that there are new contents that are added to this vase. The vase is still the same. The rocks are still there. However, Jesus is bringing up a new covenant that is filled with amplified teachings for what is good in God's eyes. A renewed perspective on God's principles and their applications in our lives. This is why in the following teachings after this passage, Jesus will go through every one of them. And he will say, you have heard this, but here I tell you this amplified teaching. He's saying, this is the fully filled law. So now can you go on the next one? Let's go in verse 18. For I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not a iota, not a dot will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And in your translation, this might change. And sometimes it could be accomplished or achieved or come to pass. If we see the Greek verb for accomplish, it is the word geomai, which states a transition. It is telling us that the condition of something is changing. So yes, Jesus is telling us that our vase has the same rocks. Nothing is going to disappear from it. Nothing is going to be subtracted from this vase, right? But he's reassuring us this part, but he wants to go deeper into them. And these may sound different, new teachings, but they are not. Yet it is a new covenant. And let me bring to light the reason why Jesus is doing this. He's not only giving us teachings, but he's starting to tell us more about the relationship that is going to change between us and God the Father. And for that, I want you to follow me with the reading in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40 to 41. And it says, and I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn away from me. And I will rejoice in doing them good. And I will plant in them, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. This is the God of the Old Testament talking to us. is the very same one that he's telling, I want to abide with you. I want to make an everlasting covenant, seeking to put away the enmity between God and man. He wants to abide with his people, and he wants to change their hearts. For this is what he cherishes the most. Let me bring to you another reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26 and 27. It says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will set them in their land and multiply them, and I will send my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So clearly we see how God wants to be close to us. He wants to be with you, and he also wants you to experience him in a different way. Not to see it as a distant God who's saying his statutes and saying, oh, you're not doing this and that. He wants to be like, no, I'm going to give you everything so you can see things with my eyes. I want you to see my principles the way I see them. And so we go on to verse 19. And he's telling us, whoever relaxes on these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So why does Jesus remind us of this? He's saying, I'm not here to abolish the law, yet the law is not changing. And right now he's bringing up this. Whoever relaxes on any of them. What is he trying to say? He's trying to reinforce the importance of the law, through which we're conscious of what sin is. God brought his law so we know what are the ways of God, so we can differentiate from the other people. But this is also a way for him to prepare us to go and teach what we do. This is not only to keep the commandments, but also to teach others about it through his example. This is what Jesus came to do as well. Jesus came and lived under the law. In each and every aspect of it, keeping it, fulfilling it, making a case to be coherent to what we preach and what we do in our lives. For anyone must be aware of the implications of this in their lives, and this is something that it was a way to be make a reference, to be like, you see the Pharisees? You see that they preach and they say to do these things, but on the other side, you see them doing other stuff. This is exactly the aim of the new covenant, so that God can change our lives, so that he can change our heart, making us keep his statutes to see everything through his eyes and share that with the others. So let's go to verse 20. For Jesus says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So if we see the word righteousness, it is referred as something that is deemed right in front of God. It's something that he looks at it and he says, I approve it. I deem it right. So let us consider what he just told us. If you break any commandment, you're considered the least. But to be considered approved worthy is in a whole different level, right? So this means that are we lost? There is no way that we can be seen righteous in front of God. Let us remember that the Pharisees were the teachers of the law. They dedicated their life to change it according to the law. And everybody saw them in a high standard. Yet Jesus is telling us here, you have to surpass that. You have to go beyond that. So does this mean that we're lost? Certainly not. What God wants to do is to establish this eternal covenant and forgive our sins and remember them no more. For us to keep the relationship with His Father. And this will be fulfilled, this righteousness will be fulfilled through Jesus. So that it doesn't rely upon you fully. It is upon Jesus. When God the Father looks at us in this new covenant, He doesn't see you as you are, but He sees you through Jesus. He is the one in the middle. He is the advocate that represents us again for His Father. And yes, you and I were invited, as He was just saying before, that we have to fulfill His commandments. There is an invitation to us to keep His teachings. Yet, in that very last day, we will be with Him. He will see us through His Son, Jesus. So He taught us His ways. He preached, Jesus came to preach the fully filled law, which goes deeper into God's commandments so you and I can discern it through our own eyes. And this is my conclusion to you, that there is a lot to say about these four verses, for how they prepare to us for the teachings that Jesus is going to bring up next. He had a lot to say to the famous ways about how the Jews were doing their teachings, the way to receive the law, and also how they saw God the Father. What matters most to you and me is to understand that God always wanted to find a way to get us back to Him. We just saw that the fully filled law is being shared through Jesus' teachings. These principles of a new covenant with man, an eternal covenant where He is our mediator, for His righteousness is enough to cover and forgive our sins. A covenant that was prophesied in the time of the prophets, giving His people hope to become one again with God. This is the plan of a loving God that wants to get close to His people. This is the same God from the Old Testament who sent His beloved Son to mend the broken relationship with us and the Father. With our eyes open and with our understanding renewed, you and I can come and trust Him. Trusting in His word for His teachings are needed if He deems so. So I just invite you to consider what we just learned, to take into account what we just saw. That through the example of Jesus, He's making a case for us to not only to trust in Him, but also to rely on Him so that you and I can surrender our lives and fully be reassured that He is enough to cover your sins and mine. And as this, I see it as a new beginning that He is sharing with us. It's a new beginning not only for us, but also for Israel, for everybody. This is changing everything. And so as to close, as we will have an event just right after this, just ponder upon the teachings we saw today. How through Jesus we have a new beginning. How if we surrender our life to Him, we're no longer the same. But we are one with the Father through Him. Let me pray. Father, we praise Your name and we thank You for Your goodness. We We thank you for your word and for your marvelous plans, Lord, that you unveil to us. We thank you, Lord, for you taking into account our needs, you take into account our faults, and you go beyond that. And you give us your Son, Jesus, to surrender our lives. Bless us and guide us as we'll keep your commandments and we'll wait for your guidance, Lord, for our lives. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.